You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside the very humorous today, Pastor Ken Keltner.
I'm glad to be with you today,
and
Mike.
You got a whole night full of sleep or something. Look at you.
I just enjoy you setting everything up, our interviews, how you get the board and everything set up. I mean, it's just
do
good.
I really go boom, boom every time I hit a button?
Every
in
time
here?
You hit a button, when you're in a good mood, it's boom, boom.
I'm a little surprised I'm boom booming then that day, because it's been a rough one, man. But it's all good. It's all good.
It is good.
You know, Pastor, what's really cool about today's show is when you find somebody who's in the struggle with you a little bit and in the fight with you a little bit, and the more you talk to them, the more you understand that they're going through some of the same pains that you are to do the things that you're doing. And Faith in the Zone, I think, is a wonderful program. And we've had the discussion of sometimes it gets to be difficult to find guests. Sometimes it's difficult here in the building. Sometimes difficult in different areas. I think it's coincidence sometimes. You don't believe in that. You think there's a whole different reason why at times we struggle with Faith in the Zone. But you know what? At the end of the week, it all works out. And the amount of response that I get today on Faith in the Zone is way different than it was 3 years ago when we started. Just the amount of people that listen to the show. And that's wonderful.
You know, I'm shocked. I hear it all the time, too. Now, what I usually hear is, I listen to Faith in the Zone with Mike McGivern and some other guy.
It's funny because that's how I tell people. Like, hey, I'm Mike McGivern. I do Faith in the Zone with some other guy.
I love it.
And you should take a listen to it.
You know what? I love it, Mike. And I am so glad I could just even be a slight encouragement and help to you, because you've done a great job with this program. And I'm telling you, I'm being serious with it. I was kidding a little bit with it. But I hear it from people all the time. Hey, I listen to this Faith in the Zone show, and it is very encouraging, and that's why I don't believe it's coincidence when we have issues. I think there is a battle raging, and the enemy, being Satan, does not want people to hear that Jesus Christ can change their life eternally.
Can I go back real quick before we should introduce our guests? And I'll do that in a minute. But when you said that you're just happy to be a slight encouragement. If what's the difference between encouragement and burden?
There's a big difference.
No, you're an encouragement, man. You're my bud. You're my co-host. Hey, our special guest today, and it's really cool because we will talk to him about what he's doing and how he came about. His name is Thomas Hager. He's the founder of AthletesForGod.com. AthletesForGod.com. Let me tell you what it is. It's Athletes for God is a faith-based platform for athletes and coaches to tell their testimonies. So again, Pastor, we are like locked at the hip. He's a young man. He's living in Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin, right out of Green Bay. And again, he is Thomas Hager. Thomas, how you been?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, you bet. You could tell that we just Faith in the Zone is nothing but very serious talk, Thomas. That's all we do here. We get right to the book of Ephesians or the book of Romans, and we just, you know what? We have a little bit of fun, and I think that's what the draw is. Part of the draw to Faith in the Zone is for guys and women and student athletes to listen to a show about sports, with sports people and learn that there's a lot of people trying to walk worthy in whatever sport they're playing or whatever, however they're involved in sport. There's a lot of people that are, you know, willing to get up on the mountaintop with us and talk about their testimony. So I really appreciate the amount of time that, that you're going to give us today. Can we talk a little bit about your upbringing? Where were you raised and where did you go to high school, stuff like that?
Yeah, so I moved around quite a bit growing up. I went to different schools from fifth grade through ninth grade every year. But starting in seventh grade, our family moved from North Carolina to De Pere, which is just south of Green Bay. And then we moved about 10 minutes away to Ashwaubenon, which is right by Lambeau Field. So, yeah, I graduated from Madison in 2010. The fact that I have to think about that means I'm getting old. But
Hold on. You know what? We're gonna cut the interview right now. Not talking to a guy who graduated from college in 2010. He's talking about being old.
And he thinks he's old.
Yeah, he's done. You and I'll just do the show, Pastor. You're back being my guy after that line. Hey, Hager, I don't want to hear about 2010 graduating from college and you're old.
So I ended up moving back here. At the beginning of August. And so that was right after our website had launched. And so, living back at home has been awesome. Getting to kind of renew my relationship with my parents a little bit better has been great. And then basically just focusing on that website as much as I can has been awesome. And just like you guys, you know, trying to just spread the word from a sports perspective has been really cool.
Hey, Thomas, thanks again for coming on. What did you major in there at Madison?
I majored in journalism.
Okay.
And it was funny because, you know, I honestly thought you were talking about, you know, struggles before, you know, just like in terms of bringing on guests a lot or anything. And I actually found a lot of struggles in terms of my career path. I thought I was going to be on ESPN or something like that. And you know, it took me a long time to find my footing as a writer. And one of the things that I've realized was that God's plan was better than my own plan. And I'm so glad everything happened the way it did so I could be at the spot I'm in now. And honestly, I think anybody who has gone through some struggles probably feels the same way, is that later on down the road, you realize how awesome God's plan can be.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll get into that a little bit more with you here in just a moment. Were you involved in sports at all through high school?
Yes and no. I think I was one of those kids who, you know, if you ask a lot of sports writers, why are you a sports writer? Why did you want to do that? I think a lot of them would say, you know, I wanted to be Michael Jordan when I grew up. And then maybe middle school, high school, you realize, okay, that's not going to happen. And then so you start to think, okay, how can I stay involved in sports? So for me, it was one of those things where, you know, I got cut from the freshman high school basketball team when they didn't really cut people. I was that bad. So so basically, I kind of turned to sports writing. And so after I graduated, I spent 2.5 years writing a book on the history of March Madness and then moved out to Pullman, Washington to cover Washington State football and basketball, and then worked for the Rockies for 1.5 years and then moved back out here. So it's been a crazy whirlwind adventure, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Thomas, who was the basketball coach at Washington State when you were there?
It was not Tony Bennett.
It was not.
You know, Tony Bennett was a Wisconsin guy. He had just taken a job at Virginia.
Okay.
So it was a guy named Ken Bone, and I think he's at Montana State now. And then Ernie Kent, who used to coach Oregon to the Elite Eight twice, he took over, I think, my third season there. And I was there for 4 years, so got to know him for 2 years, and then I got the job out in Colorado.
Thomas, I'll tell you a quick Tony Bennett story. I also do a high school sports show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, every Saturday from 10 to noon. And I coached my son in high school, and I wanted to do a, you know, coaching our sons kind of show. So I brought in another coach here, a guy from Sussex, Andy Cerrone, and his son, Cam Cerrone, who was a really good basketball player. And my son came in, and I called out to Washington State. And I got a hold of the SID and I said, hey, I would like to get Tony on this show. And she said, you know, that's not going to happen. He doesn't do shows like this during the year, but maybe in the off season. And I said, look, I'm from Milwaukee, you know, fairly close to where he grew up and where he played. And this is the show that we're going to do, this father and son thing. And he played for his dad. And I think it would be great. Could you just ask him? And she said, sir, I'm just telling you the answer is going to be no. And I said, I understand that. But could you just please put me on hold and ask him? And she came back. She goes, look, I don't believe it. He said he'd give you a full hour if you wanted it. And he came on this show and he talked about playing for his father. And he talked about, you know, the faith base that he has and that his father instilled in him. And it was a really good show. In fact, Dick Bennett, his dad, has been on Faith in the Zone. And we've had guys from Tony Dungy to Bobby Bowden, Daryl Strawberry, and Don Beebe. The only show I was ever nervous for was the Dick Bennett show, because I'm such a fan of his. As a high school basketball coach myself, I just loved, you know, watching him coach and the way he slowed games down. And it was really interesting to have him on and talk about his son, Tony.
Well, it's interesting because Tony and Dick helped make UWGB basketball relevant and then helped make Wisconsin basketball relevant. And then Virginia wasn't really a powerhouse program at all until he got there, and he completely changed it. And, you know, it's interesting because his style of basketball is so old-fashioned that, you know, maybe on paper you would think this isn't going to work. No one wants to watch this. But people want to watch a winner, and they win 30 games a year, and he's a remarkable guy. Also, I just want to mention that after they lost that game to UMBC, the first one seed to ever lose to a 16, he was such a class act, and the way he handled that was just remarkable, and it speaks volumes about the Christian that he is and the coach that he is.
Yeah, and when you talk about Virginia basketball, if you go way back to the Ralph Sampson era and stuff, they certainly were quite relevant back then. This I'll tell you this, I'm never going to take him in one of my March Madness pools again. There's no chance. Man, I can't.
Hey, he might be listening to this on podcast.
I love you, Tony. I do. I love you and your father, but I'm never taking you in my pool again. I'm just not. You're going to nowhere get. You will not get anywhere near my Final Four.
Yeah, but Thomas, you are right. I wanted to see what his response would be after that game, and you are absolutely right. He was class. I'm totally class.
You know, maybe one of the three best players on that team that beat Virginia is a kid from Whitefish Bay, Joe Sherburne.
Oh, yeah.
And I coached Joe's older brother, Jimmy, in AAU basketball. We had Joe on the next day from the airport on the big show talking to him. And, yeah, that was an unbelievable for people in this area that know Joe. When I knew him, I was coaching his older brother. He was a squirrely little fella. Mm-hmm. But, man, he just wanted to shoot, and he's a really smart kid, and it was a great win. Guys, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, as we're talking with Thomas Hager, again, he is the founder of athletesforgod.com. I cannot recommend enough. Go to that website. Make sure you've got a good 15 or 20 minutes to put aside. Because if you think you're going to pop in and out on this website, you're not. Because you're going to get caught into reading one or two or three of these articles. And I can't recommend our listeners more. Go to athletesforgod.com. Read Laval Jordan is the Butler Way is the name of that article. He's a past guest here on Faith in the Zone. And the latest one, Todd Graham, the former Arizona State football coach, a really great article about him and his faith and how his faith really helped him through getting let go as the head football coach at Arizona State. Again, Thomas Hager, founder of athletesforgod.com. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. our special guest today. Again, he is the founder of athletesforgod.com. The founder of athletesforgod.com. Go to that website. He is Thomas Hager. Again, they are Athletes for God is a faith-based platform for athletes and coaches to tell their testimonies. Hey, Thomas, let's talk a little bit about, you know, where you came up with the idea for athletesforgod.com. And you know, you talked a little bit about that first segment, you being a journalism major at Madison. Obviously, writing is something that you wanted to continue to do. Where did the idea come up with for athletesforgod.com?
Well, it's funny. So when I... 2014 was when I really started growing in my faith, and back then my idea was starting a restaurant, and that was going to be my big thing, and basically running a business with Christian values. And I had been planning for 4 years, basically 3 or 4 years, to open up this seafood restaurant in Seattle. That was my big dream. And then the day that I came up with the idea for the website, I was like, forget everything I had been planning, I'm doing this website. And so I don't remember the exact moment, but I must have been working at the call center with the Colorado Rockies. And between phone calls, you know, you can basically, you know, do whatever you want with your time. And obviously, a lot of times it's quite busy on the phones. But at some point back in February, I came up with this idea of, like, how does this thing not really exist yet? And I knew that there was a website called Players Tribune, which isn't really faith-based. It's first-person stories, but it's more about sports-specific stuff. And so one of my big things when I was younger and then trying to talk to people about my faith was I didn't want to talk at people. I wanted to talk with people. And so my big thing with the website was knowing that sports is going to open that door to just have a conversation with the readers about God, and doing so in a gentle enough way where they would want to maybe pick up a Bible for the first time. And so basically since February, like, most of my life has been dedicated to this website.
Well, I'll tell you what, and it's a good one, Thomas. I read a few of the articles, certainly read the LaVall Jordan one, but the Todd Graham one, that's the recent most recent, and when you go on that website, it's the first one that you see. I would highly recommend that you read it. You know, he is, I think he walked into that athletic director's office thinking they were going to, you know, renew his contract, up his contract, because I thought he did fairly well at Arizona State, and he got let go. And I think, you know, reading that article, if it was not for his faith and his family, that would have been a much more difficult transition and experience in his life.
I think, honestly, he's just one of those guys that even if he wasn't religious, he just would have done things the right way anyways, and not knowing that they reflected Christian values. But he's a guy who's been all in for Christ since I think he was like 11 years old or 12 years old, something like that. And so it came as no surprise to anybody who knew him that when he did get fired, he wanted to go to that press conference and, you know, reading that verse from Proverbs and just sharing that he was at peace with everything. And honestly, he was just an incredible guy to speak with. And, you know, a lot of these times when I'm talking with the athlete, you know, it might be like a 20, 30-minute conversation, something like that. I went down to Arizona to meet up with him. And during our conversation, he invites me to spend the night at his house, takes me out to dinner. We have breakfast together. We went to Bible study group together. I've never had anyone do something like that. So we basically, for almost 24 hours, it felt like we spent that much time pretty much just talking about our stories together. And he was just one of the most down-to-earth people you'll ever meet.
Well, that is powerful, Thomas. If you want to come up or come down to Milwaukee and interview Mike, we can put you up and you can come to church with us. So,
what about interviewing? I thought we were partners in this. Yeah, I thought you were an encouragement, not a burden. on
we can definitely do that. I'll You know, I'll get you lunch there, Thomas, or something. But you're more than welcome to come down here. We'd love to. But
you can sit next to me at Brookside Baptist Church, and we'll under our breath make fun of Pastor a little bit.
it's usually when he's looking at his watch that I know I got trouble.
You know
those
Baptist pastors, they kind of go long sometimes.
Yeah,
they go a little bit long. Hey, Thomas, what has been the biggest struggle for you, and what keeps you up at night when it comes to athletesforgod.com? What are you working through right now? And talk about in the beginning when you had this idea. What have been the difficult parts about getting this going?
The thing that I think I still struggle with at times, and I don't necessarily know that this is a bad thing, but this constant idea I have of when I die, was there another person I could have converted to Christ, and I didn't because I was too complacent or too lazy, and that person doesn't get to spend eternity in heaven because I didn't work hard enough on the website to bring that story to that one extra person. So for me, my entire goal is to show people two things: A, that God exists, and B, that he loves them. So those two things is really what motivates me. I think as far as the actual website itself, the first thing was basically, trying to get the interviews before the website existed, because it was basically just an idea at that point that didn't exist. There were no links I could send people or anything. And then, trying to get, basically people to just take it seriously. So that was kind of the biggest thing. And it really, went to show the amazing people who had agreed to go on the website before it actually launched. And I definitely will always have a lot of respect for those people who got it off the ground in the first place.
Well, Thomas, what a noble and worthy desire to get out a message of hope to people, that God loves them, and that you want to share with them how they can live with God is through his son Jesus. And so that is powerful. I appreciate your thoughts on how concerned you are. And one of the latest polls I saw was 95% of evangelical believers have never led one person to Jesus. So there is a big battle over the souls of people. And someone said it, hell will probably be paved with the good intentions and the religions of mankind. And to be able to help people see the truth, because, Jesus is the one who said the truth will set you free, and he is the truth. And I love it that's your... that's what your focus and your concern is about.
That's his personal mission statement right there to me, and that's really powerful. And when I ask people, hey, what keeps you up at night, that's as powerful of an answer as I've ever gotten. What keeps me up at night is that I don't want to die, and right before I die, I think, could I have converted one more person? Could I have not been lazy? I grew up in a household on the east side of Milwaukee with a dad that was a bricklayer and a mason. And from the time I was, that I can remember, 5-6 years old, he said, look, the worst word in the English language is lazy. Don't ever let him call you lazy. I was 5. I was 6. What does that mean? I have no clue.
He was saying, make your bed.
Make your bed, cut the grass. Yeah, all that stuff. And so, you know what? When you said that, look, I just don't ever want to be considered lazy. And in your own mind, is there one more article I could have written? Could I have gone one more place? And would that have reached one more guy or one more woman? I think it's just, like Pastor said, very noble. And That would keep me. Now you're going to keep me up at night. Thanks a lot, pal. Now that I'm going to be thinking that. Oh, that's great, Hager. Thanks a lot. I appreciate this. Again, he is Thomas Hager. He's the founder of athletesforgod.com. Go to that website. It's one word, athletesforgod.com. And again, spend some time there. There are some really, really good articles. Hey, Thomas, before we get to a break, do you have other writers on staff?
No, the whole thing is my writing with these athletes. So basically, I spend a significant amount of time with them telling their story, and basically I just try and you know, put that right out there on the website and kind of work with them to make sure, does everything look good? Do you like the way it fits and everything? But yeah, this whole thing is my writing and their writing, both.
Hey, Thomas, do you have trouble finding people that will come, you know, let you write about them and their testimony, how their journey of faith with Jesus began?
Not really. I think it's one of those things that so when I was a former writer in the newspaper industry, the whole thing was like trying to get the story that no one else had, trying to get the scoop, trying to, you know, break some sort of new story. And so whenever someone had something that none of the other writers did, the thing was, how did you get that, right? And my website and these testimonies have had stuff that no one's ever heard before. And I think it's has nothing to do with me or how good of an interviewer I am, or it has nothing to do with, the writing quality or anything like that. The whole purpose of why I was able to get access to these people and they were willing to share these stories was basically, to quote Matthew West, look at what God has done. And I take no credit for anything that has happened with the website, because 100% of the credit goes to God. And God just moved through me to speak with these athletes and coaches. And so really the credit would go to God.
Well, boy, you know what? We are a lot alike with the mission statement and what we're looking to accomplish. For us, it is difficult to find guys. And you know what? And we had this conversation, Thomas, about going through the proper channels, and we ask guys all the time, you know, if you have anybody that fits with what we do here on Faith in the Zone. And it's amazing to me and to Pastor that there are times where, man, it's really difficult to find guys. And then all of a sudden, you know, there are a lot of people praying for the show. I believe that, because there'd be 3-4 guys lined up. And with you, this worked out really well. I saw, and one of the coaches that listened to the show all the time had something on their website or on their Facebook page about Todd Graham and the article, and he had a link to your article, and that's kind of how this happened. And I just chuckle sometimes, Pastor, where I'm thinking, boy, this thing is really getting difficult to find guys, and then all of a sudden I'll get 3 calls in a row from guys saying, hey, you gave me a call a month ago. I got a call from Tim Burke, former Major League Baseball pitcher, that one of our former guests had credited him and his wife, not only saving him faith-wise, but saved his marriage. Hmm. And I reached out to Tim, and this was 3 months ago. And he called me this week, and he said, hey, look, I'm really sorry for not getting back to you. I've just been really busy, but if you want to give me a call in the next couple of weeks, I'd love to come on Faith in the Zone. Mm-hmm. I started listening to some of them after you had my buddy on, and I would enjoy coming on. So, guys, we've got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation with Thomas Hager. Again, he is the founder of athletesforgod.com. Go to that website. They are a faith-based platform for athletes and coaches to tell their testimonies. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Sorens Ford of Brookfield. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time. Covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church, our special guest. Likes to talk about how old he is. Graduated from Madison 2010. I don't want to ever hear that again. He is Thomas Hager. He is the founder of athletesforgod.com. Pastor?
Thomas, one thing we like to do is talk to people about their testimony, their journey, how they came to Christ. And, we were talking when we were off air that, you had a religious background. But then on air here, I think in the last segment, you mentioned 2014 was kind of that time that you settled that. Is that the case?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So I don't know if how many people know like where they were when it happened, but for me, I definitely remember because I was in a committed relationship, and it was November of 2014, and one night, basically, I realized how different of a life I was living than what I was supposed to be. And so, you know, I'm 29 years old now, and so I'm pretty much the first generation of guys in America where a lot of bad stuff was just one computer click away. And that stuff had been going on for me since I was about 13 or 14 years old, and was to the point that I didn't even kind of realize how bad it was to be doing that. It was like kind of like just habit at that point. And, you know, I've been dating somebody for 9 months, and, you know, I was getting ready to propose to her. And all of a sudden, one day I realized, like, this is unacceptable. And then I basically, for, you know, a couple years after that, just was consumed with guilt about, you know, anything that I had been clicking on or watching, realizing how unacceptable it was. And it was a combination of all sorts of things, of losing that relationship, losing my own identity as far as being someone that I even liked, and losing all my, or having all these insecurities brought out, and just all sorts of stuff, and felt like my life was kind of spiraling out of control. But that day in November of 2014 was the day that I realized I need to stop doing that. And yeah, basically totally changed my life over, or tried to, and definitely more so now than I used to be. But, you know, looking back, it's one of those things that I'm not proud of what I had done, but I'm just glad where God took me now, because it showed that it's never too late to turn your life around to God.
Yeah. You know, and that's the whole reason Jesus came, because we could never meet the standard that God set, you know, for us. And, you know, with four boys, Thomas, as they were growing up, you know, they would get on a basketball, go, they could lower, and they would come running in and go, "Hey, Dad, come on out, watch, we're dunking the basketball." And I would come out and I'd say, "Hey, that's great, but, you know, I'll be really excited when it stays at the standard at 10 feet, then you can do it and you can dunk it." And God's standard, you know, has always been perfection. And that's the battle, as you were talking, that I think all of us can identify with, Thomas, that we all have come up short from the standard of being perfect. And that was the whole reason Jesus came, because we couldn't meet the standard. He came, took on the form of flesh. He lived a perfect life. He met the standard, and then he put himself on that cross, and he said, "I'm going to pay for the sins of the world, past, present, future, completely." And
absolutely.
And it's, you know, and it's what Jesus can do. In fact, I was just meeting with a guy before I came over to broadcast today, who just recently came to Christ. And he said, "You know, the choir and the orchestra did that song Sunday, Jesus Saves." And he's only been a believer maybe about 7 or 8 months. And he said, I just want you to know, I love that song, that it's Jesus who saves." He said, I was in religion. It didn't fulfill me. It didn't satisfy anything. But when I found Jesus, that was the difference." And so sounds like that is the message, and really kind of what took place in your life in 2014. We're thankful that, you know, you're on your way to heaven, and we'll live eternally with him one day, and you want to tell other people how to do that.
We are
absolutely.
We are talking to Thomas Hager again, founder of athletesforgod.com. Go to that website, athletesforgod.com. Thomas, the music that we use for Faith in the Zone, a local pastor, Pastor Marlon Locke, is a guy that we've had on the show a couple of times. He's got a great music ministry. He's got a big church in the city of Milwaukee. And there's a line in that song that says, "I'm not the man I want to be, but I thank God I'm not the man I used to be." And when I get asked to go out and speak, and I get asked to speak at some men's groups and their steak dinner at Brookside Baptist Church and some other places, that's the line that I start with. And I start with it because, and we talked about this off the air, Thomas, I envy you, because you figured this out a lot earlier than I did. and you've got a lot more things ahead of you in a life that you can, you know, utilize this platform. So when I go out and speak, it's, you know, I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the man I want to be, but I thank God I'm not the man I used to be. And that line just has stuck with me from that song. And that's the reason we use that music, again, from Pastor Marlon Locke. And I would recommend with the guilt that you felt back then, you know, thank God you're not the man you used to be, right?
Well, absolutely. I think it's interesting because I want to go back to one of the things Pastor Ken said about, you know, the standard of being perfection. And one of the things I think I have always striven to do is to set that as the standard. And if I fall short, I'll try and pick myself back up on my feet. But that's what I'm aiming for, rather than saying, well, I'm human, you know, and so I'm just going to make mistakes. I think that'll lead itself into maybe some sinful behavior. And as far as the part about, you know, I'm not who I used to be, that's certainly the case for me. And one of the things that I think has been interesting is, you know, my level of desperation, it seems like, for God's help, you know, is not what it used to be in terms of, like, maybe feeling suicidal or things like that. My emotions aren't at that height anymore. But knowing that he was the only one who brought me out of it, and trying to keep that same passion in my life and helping other people who probably still feel those levels of emotion. And so in one way, you know, and I'm not the man I used to be because I stopped maybe doing some of those things I used to do, but also I'm such a healed person. I'm trying to make sure I'm still relating to people who have yet to find God or really need God in their life. And so that's one of the big things with the website, is trying to talk to people who are maybe at stage one or stage two in their spiritual journey.
Hey, Thomas, I'll tell you this, and then we've got to get to a break. When Pastor asked me to get up and speak, you know, he said, look, you need to bring it. You know, you tease your background a little bit on Faith in the Zone, but you're going to get up. And I said, I don't want to. I don't want to do that because I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed. And he said, look, there's going to be guys in the audience that are going through the same things that you used to go through. And I can't reach them. I've never gone through that. So for me to say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, it's different. And so for me, and after I got done at Brookside Baptist Church, and I had two guys come up to me and said, look, I'm struggling with some of that same stuff right now. Can I talk to you about it? I realized that, look, I this pride issue that I have, I need to put it aside. If I get a chance to get up and speak, I need to lay it all out there. I need to tell people, you know, what I was doing back then, and not be ashamed by it, but to be able to utilize it, because the Lord's given me a platform to talk to other guys. Look, a lot of guys that we have on Faith in Zone, the worst thing they ever did was steal a candy bar. That's it. You know, man, I stole a candy bar when I was four and went downhill from there, I think. And so for me to be able to get up and talk about some of the struggles and what the Lord has pulled me out of, and look, it's a fight every day. It is. It's a fight every day. Not as strong as it was when I first, you know, stop doing the stuff I was doing. It's not nearly as that. The best thing about being, for me, about being clean and sober is I never have to lie. I don't have to lie to anybody. I don't have to lie to my wife. Don't have to lie to anybody. So, guys, we got to get to a quick break. We're going to continue and do our last segment. I'm going to ask Thomas some of the better guys that he has met. Some of the articles he's written, I'm sure there are some things that have really stuck out, not only in his head, but his heart. We're going to talk to him about that on the other side of the break. Go to athletesforgod.com. Take a look at Thomas Hager and some of the things that he's done with that website. And certainly be praying for him and that he continues on this ministry that he has going. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside Pastor Ken Keltner, Brookside Baptist Church. You want to come sit with me? I go to the early service, 9 o'clock. Well, get there at 8:30 and let me park your car. Man, I am the number one valet driver. Oh, I don't, because nobody lets me park their car. I help a lot of people out, but I'll tell you this, Pastor. I'll never get up in front of church again and say who I am, and then I'm the valet driver. Everybody knows me now. I can't even yawn in service without people giving me a look. I'm only kidding. Hey, our special guest, and he's been a good one. I'm really proud of the work that he's doing, and I look forward to meeting him in person. He is Thomas Hager. He's a founder of athletesforgod.com. Thomas, in the few minutes that we have left, can you give us a couple of guys and some of the people that you've met, and the articles that you've written for this website that have really affected you, reached, you know, a different space in where you're thinking and your heart is. A couple of guys that that you look back at and say, man, I learned a lot from hanging with that guy.
I think the number one for me would have been Heath Bell. He was a two-time All-Star pitcher, but before all that, he had spent 8 years in the minor leagues. Because the first team that drafted him didn't necessarily maybe believe in him. And he had three kids that he was trying to support. He has four kids now, but at the time he was trying to support three kids on a minor league salary. And he was talking to me about just how desperate his financial situation was. And now he couldn't even maybe go to Subway and buy a sandwich. And so like his meals, like they have the clubhouse due. So he'd get a PBJ in there and then pack one for like the road trip, and that might be his meals, you know, for that day. And he was saying how they had like sponsor families who would host like Lasagna Monday or Taco Tuesday or whatever, and he went to every single one, not because he necessarily wanted to be in front of everybody every day, but because that was how he was going to eat. And eventually, 8 years or not, maybe not on the eighth year, but several years into this journey, he basically was telling me how he finally got desperate enough. This is like, you know, in the early 2000s where he was not even in AAA, single A, or double A. He was playing baseball in Venezuela, and he's sitting there basically kind of like broke down. And he was like, all right, this is it. I'm going to start doing steroids, because he kind of felt like, I have to support my family. I don't want to do this, but let's do it. And then he made it known to somebody that when they got back from a road trip, he wanted to start. And when he gets back from the road trip with his team, he gets a message from his wife, and his daughter, who had Down syndrome, was having seizures. And he said that was basically a message from God saying, don't do it. Don't do it, Dad. Come home.
Wow.
And to see how close he could have been to making a major mistake in his life and career, and in that moment, recognizing, you know, God uses other people to speak through us. He does. It's not necessarily sometimes like Moses, where he speaks directly to us. And to see him use his daughter and his wife to say, don't do it, come home, was amazing. And just one of the most down-to-earth guys. And, you know, at that point for me, I also recognized the financial struggle, because, you know, the website hadn't even launched. I was working as a pizza delivery driver, and you know, just seeing his struggle, and it was amazing to see how God turned that around.
Boy, that's powerful. Heath Bell, that's awesome. Hey, give us, if you can, one more. I don't know that you talked about Todd Graham and being able to spend some time with him. Is there one other guy that in this journey of this website, again, the website is athletesforgod.com, that you would say, look, this is another one that really touched me?
Yeah, I would say two of them, or one in particular. Sandy Leon right now is the catcher for the Red Sox. He's playing in Game 3 of the World Series tonight, two wins away from winning the whole thing. And I remember when I went up to meet with him and talk with him for his story, he said two incredible things. The first I remember, so he was playing for AAA Pawtucket, which is just outside of Providence, back in 2016. And he was waiting for all those years to, you know, to just like Heath Bell, to try and get his call up. And then it's a 2-week call up, and his wife says, we need to buy a house in Boston. We need to move to Boston. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, we're moving back to Pawtucket in 2 weeks. And she's like, no, basically the Lord is saying, like, we need to have faith in this and move to Boston. And he just decides to trust her and says, okay, we're moving to Boston. And then he ends up hitting, like, over 310 that year and was just incredible, way past anybody's expectations. He was hitting over 400 when they told him, you're not getting back, sent back down to Pawtucket. You're staying here. And it was amazing that he took this advice from his wife, because it was only a few years before that where he wasn't even dating her. They were friends at the time, and she was in Venezuela. And he basically felt like, if I'm going to make this happen, I really need to make it happen. Within 3 days, he went from being her friend to being engaged to being her husband within a week. And it was just one of those things that he took two huge chances on himself, and both paid off in a big way. And the only way to say, how does this happen, is God.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Hey, this has been really, really good, Pastor. You know, when you meet a guy, and again, Thomas is a young guy, and he's willing to do some of the stuff that he's doing. He's willing to, he's working, you know, weird hours, and he's devoting a lot of his time to this website and finding guys that'll you know, get up on the mountaintop with him. There's a real tie that I feel with him and the struggles that he's going through right now.
Yeah, and it's a most important message in the world, and that's why you have sleepless nights, because you're thinking, who else, God, could you bring me in touch with that needs to hear the message that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? And that is, I mean, Thomas, that is the most important truth that will set anybody free from whatever bondage they're in. And so it's neat to see different ones that want to come on and share all that with you.
Hey, Thomas, really quickly, are there ways for our listeners, can they donate to your website? Are you looking for sponsors? Is there any way that we can help the financial burden that you have with putting this website together?
Yeah, we're going to be starting a GoFundMe page in the near future. But in the meantime, we are definitely looking for companies to sponsor us, or even individuals. My email address is pretty easy to remember. It's thager@uwalumni.com. So for all you Badgers out there, yeah, thager@uwalumni.com. And basically, we're looking for any financial help we can get, and anything would be really appreciated, because it's not going to me. It's going towards the website to help just spread that message even further.
It's thager@uwalumni.com. If you didn't get that, if you're in the car, reach out to me here at the radio station. I have his contact information. If you're an individual and you're feeling led to help this website and help Thomas get this going, to continue it going, I should say, you contact me, contact him. If you're a company that wants to sponsor this website, certainly a place for you there. Guys, thanks a lot, Pastor. It's good to see you. Thomas, thank you so much. Again, athletesforgod.com. Have a great week, Thomas.
God bless. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Thomas.
This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.